listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life Program for Wednesday, November 5th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm glad to be here. But two things tonight. We have a full moon. And tonight is a full moon. And we have a guest.
We do. We have a very special guest and a very excellent topic that we're looking forward to getting into. A couple of things here as we begin our preamble. I do want to apologize for our absence last week. The internet was completely out of my house. And I apologize also for we had a little technical difficulties that we don't have to talk about at the outset of tonight's broadcast. So appreciate you hanging in with us. But as always, we appreciate everybody that takes the time to catch up with us live. We always like catching up with you in the chat. We love seeing you, and I got to say, this is my favorite day of the week. And we also want to put a shout-out to those that catch up with us from the archives. We get your feedback, and we appreciate you listening in. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And as always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Dr. Vicki, you were absolutely right. We do have a special guest tonight and a wonderful topic. We're going to be talking about the futility of futility. And we're happy to welcome Dr. Doug Kelly.
Hi, everybody. Hope everybody's doing good. Just wanted to let you know right away, this is going to be a very short presentation, because why bother? Okay, that was a joke.
It's futile.
Yeah, it's futile.
Resistance is futile.
That's right. All right, so we're talking about why futility is futile, and this is actually a good topic, maybe a little complicated topic, because it can go and go and go. But I'm going to hit some high points. If you're a student or a graduate, you got the newsletter this week, and that was part one of futility. And next week's newsletter, I'm going to add the second part, which I will be talking a little bit about tonight too. But not everybody tunes into the radio program, so not everybody reads the newsletter. So hey, maybe we'll get everybody one way or another, huh? So futility. It's actually an important topic to me, because for much of my early life, I pretty much felt it was futile. You know, living in this world with all its troubles, it's easy to buy into the futility of it all. And, you know, I would look at babies being born with all that freshness and youthful vigor and strength and dreams for the future and on and on. And then they grow up, get old, and die. And I'm thinking, you know, so what? What's the point of that? It's just futile. It doesn't matter. You know, it makes no difference. And so I mean, that mental attitude, disposition kind of crept up on me in my, I suppose my mid-30s. 30s and mid-30s and 40s in there, and because of troubles I was going through at the time, which I'll get a little bit more into here in a few minutes. But that was kind of my take on things. And so I looked, and a lot of people feel that way. You know, it's like they feel that way, but there's also this human need to avert futility. You know, many people, past, present, have made serious attempts of removing futility from their lives. And there's various metaphysical writers like William James and Soren Kierkegaard, Friedrich Nietzsche, all taught philosophy as a remedy to despair and futility. I mean, other people seek religion to find meaning and avert futility. And there are other things. People get reckless with their lives. You know, they just do anything and everything, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we are to die, is the old attitude, right? So the question we want to ask, and especially if you're not doing any of those things, so with death comes the ultimate futility, right? Remove death and you remove futility. But is this correct thinking? Is any of that correct thinking? And that's what we're going to get into just a little bit here. And I will add, it's sad to see good-hearted people who are hurting over the tragedies of life. You know, so many have had so many problems, and it's just, it's unfortunate that they have. So let's talk for a moment about how to understand and view futility. You know, the word futility is defined as serving no useful purpose, uselessness, frivolousness. Now, when we apply that to our lives, does it really fit? Well, of course not. We all have responsibilities in life that wouldn't get done without us, right? And what about if we have children or dependents? You know, if we do, you know, our lives need not be futile. We take care of them. You know, they deserve that. How would they get along if not for our involvement? And hopefully we can answer that we are thoroughly involved in the lives of our children, regardless of their age. But what about other responsibilities and pursuits that we have? Do we adopt the philosophy of leaving the woodpile a little higher than we found it? And we do that by giving to others part of our career or other activities. You know, there are many opportunities to provide a valuable service to our communities. You know, are we involved there? Can we be involved? In fact, the work of metaphysical humanists is to pay it forward. I mean, can we find an opportunity every day in some way to pay it forward, whether it's opening the door for someone or buying somebody a coffee or paying for their breakfast in the drive-thru, whatever it is there some way we can identify and find ways to pay it forward? You know, author and medical doctor Ron Smotherman once wrote, "At the foundation of every life is one central desire to make a difference that you lived." And that's true. Now, and this is an extremely relevant point to this discussion, and we're going to expand on it. If we make a difference that we live, then by definition, we negate futility. We make it go away. Futility only exists when we do nothing meaningful with our lives, when we have no purpose, when we only take from others. And by discovering and implementing our own unique purpose, we overtake futility. We dissipate its power, and it goes away. So if we have a purpose, if we have things that we're doing that are meaningful and we're helping people and making positive difference, leaving the woodpile higher than we found it, then, you know, futility no longer has a hold on us, has no hold on our mental and emotional faculties. All right, so let's go on to another variation of this topic. And before we do, I want to say, wrap the last part up with just a quote. And this quote was made by one of my students who's now graduated, Dr. L. Hutchins, back in 2019 as part of one of her assignments, and she wrote this. She said, "Futility is the great destroyer of potential." I thought that was a great, great quote. Utility is the great destroyer of potential.
That's profound, actually.
It is. It's very deep, and I complimented her on it, and put it in the newsletter this week. And I mean, you think about that. How many people out there have such great potential that's frankly wasted? Why? Because they have this attitude of futility that nothing matters. And I would love to talk on my concept that in this indifferent universe, nothing does matter, but that would just complicate this discussion because I'm not talking about futility in that regard. But so many people have great potential and they don't use it. And if that's you, then stop doing that. Change. Realize your full potential. And you can do that. You can do that, definitely. I mean, helping people who need it is a realization of potential. So that's a great quote. Futility is a great destroyer of potential. So here's several points on why futility is futile. All right, one. And I'm going to discuss this from two different standpoints. One is the position that this life is all there is. And secondly, from the position that our consciousness survives death of the physical body. So two positions, this life is all there is. And the second one, this life is not all there is. All right. So here's the first point. What matters most in our life are not the mistakes we make, but our life overall. People will always make mistakes, but what counts is that we not practice making mistakes through carelessness or by not growing as individuals. It's good and noble to live life in such a way that we do not cause others conflict. In other words, do no harm, right? That's the foundation of this church. Do no harm, do right. After all, what right do we have to cause other people pain? We don't. So don't cause people pain. Life's hard enough. We need to ask ourselves, do I make life easier or more difficult for others in general? Am I predominantly a taker or a giver? If all we ever do is take from the woodpile, we eventually deplete it. We lose friends, partners, relationships, and then we blame others for abandoning us, right? One of my favorite authors is Alfred Armand Montaupert, and he wrote a book decades ago, The Supreme Philosophy of Man. And he had a ton of great quotes in that book. But one that I want to talk about here is he said he has this little motto he has hanging over his desk, and it says, when the one great scorer comes to write against your name, he writes, not that you won or lost, but how you played the game. So whether that great score is God or your higher self or universal conscience or whoever, it's character, our character, that truly plays the biggest role in whether we find meaning or futility in our lives. So finding meaning and purpose and living that is a way to avert futility. It's why futility is futile. So what matters the most in the end is the contribution we've made to the world by playing the game of life honorably. Abraham Lincoln was truly a man of strong character and true greatness. He once made a statement that has really become one of my mottos in life. He wrote, die when I may, I want it said of me by those who know me best, that I always plucked a thistle and planted a flower when I thought a flower would grow. Now, I've had an opportunity to practice that just in the school and helping many, many, many people enroll and go through the program, the doctoral program, get their degrees. Many people in third world countries and other students have also done that as well by contributing to the student assistance program and helping with tuition. And so it's an incredible quote. So what matters most in our life is not the mistakes we made, but frankly, how we live our life overall with character, dignity, and kindness. The second point, believe it or not, we can make a difference to somebody. And this kind of gets back into my personal life now a little bit more. I used to be of the opinion, right or wrong, that one person could not really make a difference. I used to believe that. I read many self-help books, articles telling me just the opposite. And I still held the opinion. But then one day in 1999, I believed. I was about to do some work on my computer when I discovered that my then 12-year-old son, Michael, had not closed out a couple of school homework assignments he had been working on. And yes, this is the same Michael, Dr. Michael, that just opened this radio program, who's now 39.
Perfectly, I might add, so you can tell that homework really paid off.
Oh, it did. Went into the course. So, as usual, I began to save and close out each of his files when I came across. I normally did that because, you know, as a 12-year-old, we left them open on my computer. But we'll talk about that later, son.
A little late.
What I was thinking. All right. As usual, I started to close these out, and I came across this report he had written for his language arts class. It was about his hero. And this is what he wrote, in part. My dad is a hero for many reasons. He has done many things in his life. He has been to different countries. Here are some reasons why he is a hero. And then he went on to describe some of the intense and personal difficulties he and I had faced while trying to help his mother, my late ex-wife, overcome alcohol addiction. He then continued, I admire him for acting so calm in this situation. He is definitely a hero for going through all of this and still being able to help people. I am surprised he is still sane. I admire him a great deal. I believe he is one of the true heroes on earth. You know, sometimes, go ahead, I'll let you guys comment.
I said, I just was chuckling at, I'm surprised he's still sane.
Yeah, me too.
See, you were smart back then, Michael.
Don't accuse me of that. Don't ever accuse me of that.
So sometimes it's difficult to see things any other way than futile when we face so many problems in life. And I'm sure many hearing this can also identify. I mean, what dad doesn't want to be a son's hero, right? Or mom or daughter's hero or son's hero. Doesn't matter. But this was a time in my life when everything seemed utterly futile, that my life simply had no redeeming value. I felt that life's return on investment was lousy. My son and I, Michael and I, were going through serious life problems stemming from his mother's alcoholism, and as one can imagine, it's the most difficult thing to go through, especially when we factor in one's religious upbringing and belief systems, which were a part of it. It's also difficult to face up to the destroyed relationships which such abuse leads to. But when I read Michael's paper on his hero, at the time, and even now, tears welled up in my eyes. Of all the heroes out there, he chose me. And in an instant, I knew that my life was worthwhile, if only to be there for him. And I used to know that he needed me, duh. But what was so amazing is that now I knew it down to my very soul. Now I could look at life just a little bit differently, with a little bit more bounce in my step, a little lighter song in my heart, a much brighter sparkle in my eyes, because after all, I am Michael's hero. Lo, I am saved from futility. These kinds of emotional instances can make a huge difference. So while it may be rare that a single person can change history in a monumental way by their actions, it's not uncommon for people to make a difference in the life of somebody, or in fact, many. Comments?
I think we can all relate to that.
Mm, very true.
We've had moments like, what's it all about, Alfie? You know?
Yep.
You know, listening to listening to this is very important, because I think a lot of us, especially in this modern age where we get bombarded with these impressions of futility a lot on social media, right? Oh, everything's so bad, you know, there's nothing you can do to fix it, you know, everything's going to heck. It's important to remember that that we get the world we build, when there's always going to be hope and we can always push forward. Hope is kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know. You have to have it for it to come true, you know. I also have been thinking about a lot of things, you know, I hadn't thought about that in a long, long, long time. That was a trip down memory lane too. But I will tell you that empathy and the need, the wonderful thing about human connection is what kind of defines that, right? We find our purpose and we find our way through futility because we're connected with other people in this world, because our empathy makes us feel for them. We want to help them, and that gives us purpose to lift their pain and their struggle, or to share in their joy, all of these things. And it's one of the wonderful things about being the human animal, you know. And we are brilliant. We are intelligent. We have a level of, you know, we have a spirituality, a soul, for lack of a better term. You know, we have a lot of that going with us. I think a lot of animals do. All animals, but we are still an animal. We have free will, I'm sure, but we still are the human animal. And part of being the human animal is we are our truest self when we're helping others and we're connecting with others in a meaningful way, and, you know, lifting that burden. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I also can't help, I'm kind of going to rant. Dr. Vicky, you want to?
No, continue saying what you were saying.
I was going to say, I can't help but think about this, a story I heard back in ethics class back in the day. My philosophy professor was a funny guy, but he was telling the story about Immanuel Kant. And Kant was, he wrote this whole thesis basically trying to, you know, basically saying that God doesn't exist, at least in the dogmatic fashion that they think. And so, basically it's the story of this. Immanuel Kant, the famous philosopher from the 18th century, writes this paper talking about how God doesn't exist. And it's a big success. And he's a very wealthy man, Immanuel Kant. So he's walking down a German, you know, street in the middle of the 1700s. And his servant, who is holding a parasol or umbrella, keeps falling behind. And he looks back to his servant. He says, "What's the matter? Why?" And he keeps, you know, you can hear him crying. "What's the matter? Why are you crying?" He says, "Sir, you've taken my God away from me." And he thinks on this, and days later they're doing the same thing, and he goes up to his servant, and they're walking again, and he says, "I am going to give your God back to you." And he tells him this: ultimately, it cannot be proven one way or the other. It's an unknowable. Yet the belief gives you something else. So the very fact that believing in it gives you something of hope, you know, is a reason. And it was to mollify him, but basically it hits on a truth. And I'm not going to point to a belief in a dogmatic God as the truth. No, it's belief in something, and something bigger. And that something bigger can be doing a little bit here and there to make the world a better place, making life easier for somebody, you know. I have great hope and belief that there is a step that comes after this, but even if I'm just doing something to help dogs out, to help cats out, to help people out, to also in that experience joy and, again, be the human animal, connect with human beings, and live this life and enjoy this life while also doing good for some people out there, that's a wonderful thing unto itself. You know, that is its own reward. And, again, like I said at the beginning, hope is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you don't have hope, there is no hope. And if you do have hope, then you might be surprised at what you can achieve. So that's my rant.
Good point, son.
I would only like to add that I think on the back of what you're saying, Dr. Kelly, where it's important to tell people how important they are to you.
Yes.
And absolutely. For me, the voice of hope when I was growing up was my grandmother. And, you know, she had dementia before she was leaving, but I could go into her world and be there with her and enjoy the conversation. And I told her, I said, "I want to thank you for saving me, because you changed my life as a kid."
Good for you.
Oh, she said, "That's nice, dear." And I said, "I'm serious, Grandma." I said, "Without you, I don't know if I would have made it." Oh, well, it's nice to know I helped one person. And the thing about that, in that moment, I realized how important it is to tell people that while they're lucid, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. while we're still here, you know, I have a habit, and a few friends have had to get used to me, but at the end of the conversation, I'll say, love you lots. Or, you know, just, you mean so much to me, and I thank you for that. We all need to feel like we're valued or appreciated. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's important to acknowledge, and maybe not all the time, don't be nuts about it, but occasionally let people know how much they have had an impact on you.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine and I had a conversation likened to this just last week about all the people who have had an impact in our life. And sometimes it's just a passing thing. But there can be an impact in a moment. And so I, you know, just good to share that.
All right, thanks. So let's continue on with the third point in this little discussion of why futility is futile. And then I'm going to share with you the ultimate futility killer. So the third point, it does matter that we lived. You know, the people who say it really doesn't matter whether we live or not, you know, they're just wrong. It does matter that we are here and how we live. It does matter that our parents lived. Yes, it does. You know, I mean, how about our grandparents? Dr. Hunter was just talking. How about our ancestors? I mean, how many hundreds or thousands, just going back a few generations of people, had to live so that we could be here? And going forward as well, I think that we'd all agree it does matter that they lived. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So, you know, there's a lot of great people that have lived and have made contributions to the world and to humanity, including Einstein or Lincoln. Or what about Florence Nightingale, a dedicated nurse and pioneer of sanitation and hygiene? Yeah, it made a difference. And there are many, many others who made a big, huge contribution to humanity. And so that's an important thing. And here's another little story I'll share with you that I got from my dad, my father, way back. I don't even know. I was in my teens. I heard him give a talk, and he used an illustration that life is like an open book. And we start out the day, the page is blank. By the end of the day, the page is full of what we did that day. And the beautiful thing about it is that we make the choice of what is written in that book. It can be good or bad, right or wrong, beneficial or not. It's up to us. So if we have the power to choose what is written in the book of our lives, then why not make it a bestseller? Why not give deep consideration as to how you will spend your days in a meaningful way and transcend futility by adding to the woodpile? Now, I had to share this story because it's going to come up again here in a second, because I want to share with you the ultimate futility killer. And that is, in a term, survival of consciousness. So is death the ultimate futility? And in light of the foregoing, no, because death, people say, well, isn't death the end? Well, who knows? Not a single person now alive can prove what happens to us after we die. No one's gone there and come back with proof positive. However, there are compelling stories and evidence from thousands of near-death experiences, and even more compelling from shared death experiences, which I won't really get into those, but you can look them up if you're not familiar with them. So, life after death being the case, some people might be tempted to conclude, well, why bother with this life at all? We're just going to, you know, when we die, we just go on to somewhere else. Why even bother living with this life? Why not just conclude it? You know, it's not anything but pain and suffering. Let's get it over with right now and get on to a better place. Well, this kind of an attitude may imply that this life is the ultimate futility and completely unnecessary. However, such people are missing the point that the very fact that we live on after death is the very reason why futility is futile, and the very reason why we should find deep meaning in it. How so? If we live on after death, then why separate the before and the after? Is it not actually one life simply with different experiences, much like a book is one book with different chapters? We are who we are. It doesn't matter whether we are in the flesh or in the spirit. We still must fulfill our nature and compulsion to grow and evolve as sentient and eternal beings. We must still discover more about the essence of our true nature and consciousness and our place in the grand scheme of things. So, you know, I think that's an incredible point. We have one life. So we're in a particular chapter of our book of life right now in the flesh. And once we pass on, we're in a different chapter, but it's still us. It's still our life. It's still who we are. And so why not just get everything you can out of this life? In other words, live it to the full is what I'm trying to say. Not take from everybody. Take what you need or take everything you can get. No, that's not it. Live it to the full because you'll transcend to a different chapter, a different experience. So that absolutely kills futility. And we're all familiar with the immortal words by, and I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce his name correctly, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Probably murdered that one. He's a 20th century French philosopher, paleontologist and Jesuit priest. And he wrote the very familiar quote, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." So one of these days, that human experience is going to transcend to a different experience. So it becomes quite clear. We are who we are, and we do the best we can regardless of where we find ourselves at the moment. We make meaningful contributions to humanity in any one of numerous ways, small or large. We leave a lasting legacy as to our goodness and kindness. We leave our positive mark upon the world. And in these ways, our lives have deep meaning and futility has no hold on us. So if you've been struggling with the futility of it all, that's simply the universe telling you, you need to find somewhere to be of assistance to others. And that futility will go. Yeah, stuff's still going to happen. But it doesn't mean that life has no value. So I hope that these points have encouraged you and strengthened you to live your life to the full. Comments?
No, I thank you for that, Dr. Kelly. And yeah, you know, we all need to be reminded from time to time because things can feel futile. But as we noticed in the U.S. politics yesterday, it's not futile. A democratic sweep. I love that. That's just my opinion. And that gives me hope. So, you know, there's all kinds of even small things, not just the big ones, but the small things. Everybody makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I will let you guys continue on with the rest of the program. And it's good to be here with everyone. And I hope everyone is doing well. And I hope you have a great night. Take care until next month.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a great discussion. Yeah. So we'll look forward to having you back first Wednesday of December.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night. You know, speaking of consciousness, I just finished reading Dan Brown's latest book, Secret of Secrets, everybody.
Oh, yeah?
Mm. Oh, my, I couldn't put it down. Mm. Anyone who's into metaphysics, this is a little bit of a different twist for Dan Brown. He spent 6 years writing this book. And so Robert Langdon and his girlfriend go to Prague. She's giving a speech because she is a brain scientist specialist, research in the brain. And her whole thing is about non-local consciousness. And to her, she can prove that. But her general, I'm not giving away any of the story. Trust me, it's full of intrigue and CIA and lots of stuff. It's really good. And twists and turns and unexpected stuff. But she likens consciousness to, and that she says we're always in and out. Think of consciousness much like the cloud. You have the cloud for the internet, you know, and everything is stored there, but you're accessing stuff to the cloud. And she says we're doing the same thing with our consciousness, that we can't possibly store all that stuff in one brain. So we're always in and out, which then she goes on to say about how that also can explain, savants, you know, you have a trauma or a brain thing and you become a savant and suddenly play a piano. Or right to remote viewing, psychic impressions, and the list is long. And that's her theory in the book. He prefaces in there that most everything in science that he writes about is true and authenticated. A lot of talk about early experiments in the psychic phenomenon. I recommend anybody read this book. I loved it. But I like that whole thing. It's kind of like the Akashic Record being the cloud of the internet. You know, that we're always kind of tapping into that at all times. And that was the best way of explaining to me about being intuitive or psychic. We're tapping into that source. Yeah, that was cool, Michael.
It absolutely is. Absolutely.
I think we have time for a few cards if anybody wants to put their name.
This one has gone by so quickly.
I know, but we got time for a few.
Absolutely.
So anybody wants a card tonight? Michael will draw from the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards. I'll draw from the tarot. And we'll see what we got. Yes, Melly, thanks. Thanks for joining us tonight, Melly, a new student, Dr. Melly. Look on Amazon. I got it as a birthday gift, but it is on Amazon. There's lots of places actually selling it now because it's a bestseller. Right.
It has been interesting. I'm just trying to catch up on some of the chat here too, and looking at that book, Life After Life. Interesting. You know, I think I've heard you talk about that before. I might have to check it out at some point. But as you said, it is time. We're going to pull a few cards, and you know, I've always said I get the easy part. I just get to pull a card randomly and read from a little guidebook, and you know, no claim to intuitiveness, but hopefully whatever message you get just makes you think about something. And then, of course, you get the hard job. So who do we have up first? It looks like Dr. Bridget, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Oh, wait. Nope. Donna.
Oh, I almost missed her.
Ah, Donna. I'm sorry, but I got you. Donna, you get number 4, past, present, and future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Well, the 7 of Cups to back that up, Donna. I'd say it's a breakdown of illusions. Like, what are you really looking at? You know, Dr. Kelly said something earlier that I think might apply about potential. And sometimes we can be in love with too much potential in others, you know, but rather than looking at what's actual. So past, present, future, how you see people or things fitting into your life, and what is your dream. So, you know, kind of breaking down the illusions from the dreams and making them actual. Well, that's maybe a little message there for you, or something that you could be sorting out, which I think you are.
Very good, according to this.
Yeah. All right, now we have Bridget.
All right. And for you, I have number 16, continuity of life. Seems kind of to touch on the last thing Dr. Kelly had said. Continuity of life, number 16. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity in the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so a new chapter may begin.
Well, the hermit is always introspective. And the continuity of life, the hermit, I got to put them together. You might be reevaluating some things about what, not unlike Donna, perhaps, of what your future looks like, what you want for your future and what's possible for your future. And look, I think we all do that to some degree, even if it's just getting through the week, you know. But I think this goes deeper, Bridget. It's like a something in your sense of spirit, your sense of who you are and staying true to that. So I think that's just a reassurance that you've been acknowledged and they hear you up there, meaning your spirits, because I believe in that. So there. All right, we have Audra.
Audra, welcome. You get a wild card tonight. Wild card number two and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within yourself to stretch to your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. Love that card.
I do too, you know, and Audra shared a little story up in the chat earlier that today somebody came into her store, this fellow, wearing a new lavender kind of sweatsuit. And she commented that the color looked good on him. And I guess he smiled and said, thanks, I just got it today. And like she said, it's amazing. That's all it takes sometimes is to do the and then some. Because what you have backing that up here is lovers, which to me is passion. You know, it's the sixth card of the major arcana. It's social. It's interactive. It's community. But it's also about the passion for that. And you're setting that example. And really, this is keep doing what you're doing, Audra. You may not see it, but you are having an impact. And you're building your own little extended family, if you will, by just being who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes you have to appreciate yourself, too. And even the extra effort it takes for not hitting somebody today.
Sometimes a lot of effort.
You got to throw it in, man. We have Steven.
All right. I have for you number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims and beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions. Weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or you have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
You know, the Four of Clubs is always about, it could be partnerships, but it could be business partnerships, not necessarily intimate ones. It's about promises. It's about agreements. And in this case, it's about sticking to the grounded principles of any agreements that you might have with others or reevaluating those agreements. Maybe it's about the interaction or boundaries or somebody's stretching the boundary, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. So I think in this case, too, you're reevaluating, or it's a time to reevaluate just to stay grounded, Stephen. And there's no question you've got this. It's just I want to say patience. That's what I want to say, and observing, and just know where your boundaries are, but also respecting other people's boundaries too. So it goes both ways.
Absolutely.
We have Kevin.
Kevin, number 10, indomitable power of the human spirit. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. Good one.
And I got the High Priestess on this one. I don't know, Kevin, have you been downloaded? Some kind of cosmic download? Some kind of enlightened moment or a realization, perhaps? An inspiration that goes with that? The High Priestess is really intuitive, and she can foresee events, not just what's in front of her, but the long-term effects of something. So I think that you've gained an insight, Kevin. You've gained an insight, and you know how to move forward. So it's like, go with it. Absolutely go with it. And stay grounded. I like that, too. Mm-hmm. Gotta stay grounded. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I want to say, Kevin, it's like plot. Sometimes life is like a chess game. And don't apologize for what you know, because everybody has access to that same knowledge. It's just who's using it.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep that in mind. I don't know why I say that. It just comes to me. So we have Jackie next.
And Jackie, for you, I have number 22, Think for Yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth. That's kind of right along with what you were saying.
Hmm. So justice is always about fairness, equitability, balance. And the thing for yourself with justice, what's fair and equal in your dynamic? It might be a dynamic here you're having with one or more people, could be more. Jackie, where, what do you call that, Michael, when somebody throws the first stone and you respond with reason and then they get mad?
I don't know the name for it.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, but you know what I mean. And you always, what I want to say to you, Jackie, is no matter the situation, always bring it back to the point and always then ask the question. So that's my advice. It could be a situation that just happened or going to happen. Maybe it's continuing to happen. But that thinking for yourself, fairness, equitability, and staying with a voice of reason. And then you'll be able to shed away all the other stuff. It comes easier.
True enough.
And we have our guest, Dr. Melly.
All right. Glad to have you. And for you, I have number 31, Sacred Obligations.
Mm.
A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Hmm. The Emperor. And what's so interesting to me about this, it's kind of a double edge. I'm going to go both ways on this, Billy. Emperor is always about authority, a power figure, or someone who thinks he or she has that. Sacred obligations and the Emperor. So on one hand, you could believe in someone and you believe they have more knowledge and power than you do, and, you know, honoring them for that. Equal to that, though, it could be someone you may have held in a high esteem who doesn't deserve it. and because it's against your sacred obligations to what you believe is moral or ethical. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of juggling it in my brain here. It's one way or the other, because everything is a yin yang.
This is true.
So go with what is true for you when you sit down and, a little critical thinking, but it's also about how you feel. And I would say, and Melly, for whatever reason, go by the 9 principles of belief. I love the 9 principles. Dr. Kelly couldn't have done better with those. So, it's just, look, sometimes these are just little reminders, and we have a dynamic with the world, and we carry on, and suddenly, oops, wait a minute, this doesn't feel right. You know, but it's served you all this time, but it suddenly doesn't feel right. Because now we've evolved, we've grown, everybody else has changed and grown, hopefully. Hopefully. So it's really about how you regard power, how you regard authority. So I hope that makes sense to everybody. Thanks for the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And good for you, Audra. She just had a meeting with a group, and she's getting excited to be involved with them.
Yes. Very exciting.
Dr. Kevin says it makes sense, and he feels more confident. thanks, Melly. She said, talk about the universe sending messages. Thank you. I appreciate the feedback. I say it time and again. I have no idea what I'm saying. So, I just go with the flow, tapping into the cloud.
that's what I do too, but I don't think I can put it as eloquently.
I don't know what part of the cloud I'm getting, but you know, whatever. No, it's been a good program tonight. You know, I know I had taken that week off. Michael had to take last week off. Like, for me, it was voluntary. I took a holiday. Michael, you had no power. You had no internet.
Power came back on quicker, like 5:36. Internet didn't come back till 2:30 in the morning the following day.
Wow.
But, it cut to me, you know, later that night on my phone trying to get a hotspot going. I had horrible cell service in my house here. But, so I was cut off from civilization. I felt like I was living in the Stone Ages again. It was a remarkable test of my ability to survive hardships. But no, yeah. I did miss seeing you all, and I did. I regretted it not being able to come and do this and share in this kind of communal activity. This community of the curious, right? We're all trying to explore this world together, figure it out together. And that's what I was talking about earlier, about being the human animal, about having those human connections. You know, it's about the people in our lives, and, you know, you folks are people in my life. I love seeing you every week. And, Dr. Vicky, I love talking to you every week.
And you, Michael. Yeah, it's we kind of get to be a habit with one another, don't we?
Very much so.
You know, if anybody does read Dan Brown's book, love to hear from you, or, you know, send an email, or hopefully talk about it in the chat. I'd like to talk more about non-local consciousness next week, Michael.
Hey, sounds good to me. Non-local consciousness. All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Let's do it. So, again, everybody, glad to be back. Glad that you all joined us in the chat, and it was good to have Dr. Kelly here tonight. So
very much so.
We'll find things to talk about. We always do.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I... You know, a little peek behind the curtain. There are times that we haven't gotten live. And, of course, you know, a lot of this is recorded, too, and that's where we reach a lot of people, too. But, you know, we go live, and we haven't really talked about what we're going to talk about at all. We'll spend the, 15, 20 minutes catching up on each other's lives, and then we're on the air, and then, all right, well, let's go here. And we kind of feel it out. And I'll be darned if something doesn't come to us and we don't have an interesting conversation to spend some time with one another about.
We pull it off. So
we do. We do.
Always good.
Well, as we're closing out the evening, Dr. Vicky, you know, it's been a great discussion, but any last thoughts you want to leave us with?
Well, of course. Don't let them push you around out there, people.
That's right.
Don't let people change who you are.
Right. live your truth, be who you are.
Yep.
As long as you're not hurting someone else, you mm-hmm. gotta live that truth. So, couldn't say it any better. Can't wait to have that discussion with you next week. And can't wait to see everybody else next week, assuming that, you know, utility work doesn't kill off some of my power and internet lines. But fingers crossed. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.